How many foreign speakers are here that don't understand German?
Quite a lot.
I'm very sorry. I tried to translate it into English, and I had it translated, but it wasn't good enough, so I tried a new one, and friends helped me, but then I got fever, and I just got the first four verbs of... no, what's Strophe in English? Bitte?
Stanza.
I just got the four, the first four stanzas, but I needed 18. So I admit I have to read it in German. So, der Schäuble. Einst um eine Mitternacht graulich, da ich trübe, sann und traulich, müde über manchem Argbeschluss, der an den Bürgerrechten zehrt. Da der Schlaf schon kam gekrochen, scholl auf einmal leis ein Pochen, gleich wie wenn ein Fingerknochen pochte von dem Rechner her. Ist Besuch wohl murrtig, was da pocht so knöchern zu mir her. Nur im Chat, nichts weiter mehr. Ah, ich kann's genau bestimmen, im Dezember war's dem Grimmen und der Kohlenmatt verglimmen schuf ein Geisterlicht so leer, brünstig. Wünschte ich mir den Morgen, hat umsonst versucht zu borgen, von den Büchern Trost im Sorgen, ob Lenore wohl sicher wär, ob Lenore, die jüngst geflohen, vor dem Terror sicher wär, vor dem Terror hier nicht mehr. Und das seidig triste Drängen in den digitalen Gängen füllt, durchwühlt mich mit der Beengen, wie ich's nie gefühlt vorher, also dass ich den wie tollen Herzensschlag musst wiederholen. Ist Besuch nur, der auf meinem Rechner mahnt, dass Einlass er begehre. Nur ein später Wurm, der listig mahnt, welch Daten er begehre. Ja, nur das, nichts weiter mehr. Augenblicklich schwand mein Bangen, und so sprach ich unbefangen gleich, mein Wurm gleich mein Trojaner, um Vergebung bitt ich sehr, just das Wochenbackup machte und ihr Klopfen klang so sachte, dass ich kaum davon erwachte, sachte von dem Rechner her, doch nun tretet ein und damit öffnete den Port ich leer, null Bits dort, nichts weiter mehr. Aufs Register späht ich lange, zweifelnd, wieder seltsam bange, listings träumend, wie kein sterblich Hirn sie träumte je vorher, doch der Rechner gab kein Zeichen, nur ein Wort ließ hin erstreichen, durch die Nacht, das mich erbleichen ließ, das Wort Lenore, so schwer. Selber sprach ich's, und ein Echo murmelte es zurück so schwer, nur Lenore, nichts weiter mehr. Da ich nun zurück mich wandte und mein Herz wie Feuer brannte, hört ich abermals ein Pochen, doch vom Rechner kam's nicht her. Ah, gewiss, so sprach ich bitter, liegt's an meinem Fenstergitter. Schaden tat ihm das Gewitter jüngst, ja, so ich's mir erklär. Schweig denn still, mein Herze, lass mich nachsehen, dass ich's mir erklär. Es ist der Wind, nichts weiter mehr. Auf warf ich das Fenstergatter, als herein mit viel Geknatter rollt ein stattlich stolzer Schäuble wie aus Sagenzeiten her. Grüßen lag ihm nicht im Sinne, keinen Blick lang hielt er inne. Mit hochherrschaftlicher Miene steuerte zur Türe er, rollt sich zu der Grundrechtsbüße bei dem Türgesims dort, er rollt und stoppt. Nichts weiter mehr. Doch dies stasihafte Wesen ließ mein Bangen rasch genesen, ließ mich lächeln ob der Miene, die es macht so ernst und hehr. Ward dir auch kein einfach Amt zur Gabe, sprach ich, so doch blind Gehabe, grauslich, grimme alter Staatsmann, irrender in Juris Sphäre. Sag, welch hohen Namen gab man dir in Juris edler Sphäre? Sprach der Schäuble, Daten her. Staunend hörte dies raue Klingen ich dem Schäuble sich entringen, da die Antwort rechtsstaatsfeindlich und unglaublich sehr, denn wir dürfen wohl gestehen, dass es keinem noch geschehen, solch eine Gier bei sich zu sehen, die vom Grundrechtsbruche her, die von einem fanatisch blinden Grundrechtshass her laut kreische, Daten her. Doch der Schäuble zittrig ragte und dies eine Wort nur sagte, gleich als läge all sein Hass auf unserer Freiheit sehr. Keine Silbe sonst entriss ich seinem wirren Innern, bis ich seufzte. Mancher Feind verließ mich früher schon und Wiederkehr. Morgen wird er mich verlassen, wie mein Glück und Wiederkehr. Doch da sprach er, Daten her. Einen Augenblick erblassend, Ob der Antwort, die so passend, sagte ich: Fraglich ist dies alles, was der Kerl gelernt bisher. Er war bei einem Herrn in Lehre, den so tief das Schicksal des Schilis quere Paragraphen trafen, dass all sein Denken gründet sich im Hass so sehr, dass der Horizont der Freiheit sich bei ihm beschränkt, so quer auf dieses wirre Daten her. Doch was trübes ich auch dachte, dieser Staatsfeind mich doch lächeln machte, immer noch, und also rollte ich stracks mir ein Gesetzbuch her und ließ die Seiten fliehen, schöpfte Verfassungsenergien, verglich mit Karlsruher Theorien, wie's wohl zu verstehen wär, wie dies grimme, angsterfüllte Wesen zu verstehen wär, wenn es krächzte Daten her. Dieses zu erraten saß ich wortlos vor dem Kerl, doch fraß ich mir sein Blick ins tiefste Innere nun. Als ob er ein Trojaner wäre. Brütend über Rechtsstaatstreue scrollte ich ganz ohne Reue meinen Cursor durch die Ordner, die verschlüsselt auf der Platte, auf der eigentlich privaten Platte, lagen mit den Bildern von Lenore, den Urlaubsbildern von Lenore. Da auf einmal füllten Düfte, dünkt mich, Weihrauch, gleich die Lüfte und rousseauscher Schriften, Duktus drang aus Büchern zu mir her. Freiheit, rief ich sie, man sandte diesen Leugner hier und gab ihm Staatsmacht. Worin endet nun dein Existieren hier? Doch wir bleiben standhaft und verteidigen dich, wie er sprach, der Schäuble, gib die Daten mir. Ah, du prophezeist ohne Zweifel, Höllenbrut, ob Tier, ob Teufel, ob dich Otto Schily sandte, ob der BND dich trieb, hierher rastlos und ganz ohne Bangen allen freiheitlichen Belangen den Prozess zu machen, sag's mir endlich, bitt dich sehr, lässt du meine Freiheit mir, sag's mir, sag mir, bitt dich sehr, sprach der Schäuble, Daten her. Ah, dann nimm die letzten Rechte, Höllenbrut, ob Tier, ob Teufel, dann treib doch weiter deinen Hass in die Verfassung rein. Künd mir, wird es denn geschehen, dass ich einst in Juris Höhen darf die Rechte wiedersehen, selig in der Freiheitssphäre, darf die Rechte, die du folterst, haben in der Freiheitssphäre, sprach der Schäuble, Daten her. Sei denn dies dein Abschiedszeichen, schrie ich Terror ohnegleichen, hebe dich hinweg und kehre stracks zurück in Juris Sphäre, keine einzigen Spende lügen. Bleibe hier dem größten Wahnsinn Zeugnis, lass mit meinen Daten mich allein, hinweg die Schere, hack nicht länger meinen Rechner, pack dich fort, hinweg die Schere, sprach der Schäuble, Daten her. Doch der Schäuble rührt sich nimmer, spricht noch immer von der Sicherheit durch Daten, von dem Epas wie vorher. Und in seinen Augenhöhlen eines Dämons Träume schwelen, und das Licht wirft seinen Schälenschatten auf die Wahrheit schwer. Und es hebt sich aus dem Schatten, aus der Wahrheit dumpf und schwer, meine Freiheit nimmermehr. Danke.
Okay.
Ich ja.
Aber thanks, Christoph. Next speaker is Mario. He talks about Linux, LXDE. So we have to stop the clock.
Okay. Is it on? Yeah. Hi, I'm Mario Belling here from Berlin, and I was traveling during the last year in Asia, also for work, and I actually got together with some folks from LXDE, and LXDE is a lightweight X11 desktop environment, and the goal is to make Linux faster, to have a lightweight and fast desktop environment. It was founded 2005 by a Taiwanese hacker called PC Man, and I would like to show you a few components here. First, what we want to do, LXDE is already in Fedora as a default available, and also packages are available in Debian, Ubuntu, and Mandriva. Here are some startup times, but it's not only about startup times. Sometimes you find other systems that are fast as well. But as you can see, louder?
Louder, it's not readable from here.
Ah. Larger. Okay. I see. Yeah, I can try. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. So we need more people to test as well. So please feel free to test it. It's not only about launching times, as I said. It's also like the overall usage of resources. We have an international community. Here are some folks from Taiwan. We get together with Ubuntu people. There are also like many different kinds of people, not only developers, people who organize events, and so on. Here, this to the left is, for instance, that's Andrew Lee. Andrew Lee is the package maintainer for Debian for more than 5 years as well, and he's making packages for LXDE, Fred Chen, a few people. Here is a get-together that we had with folks from Beijing, a small student group who also participate to support the LXD project. Some people here from Germany, we had the founding of an organization, the LXD Foundation, just 2 months ago. We decided we want to support LXD and the project. Okay, you're really curious, what is LXD? That is our logo. I show you a few components. Here we have the overall desktop screen. We also have a launcher for netbooks, because it's good for netbooks and older computers. So you can just go through the launcher. It looks quite similar to the one that we know from Sandros. Yeah, also you can have the traditional panel-like view here. You can configure the bottom panel, add different applications. We also have a run dialog. A small feature that we added here is that there's auto-completion. So you type in something and it gives you some offers. Other things you can set, of course, the panel preferences. Here are some ideas. You can do it, for instance, that the background has a picture, or that it becomes transparent. A few options. Yeah, and here is PCMan, the file manager that was also started by the main developer, PCMan from Taiwan, in 2005. Okay, and yeah. Few components, please check it out. The website is lxde.org. This presentation here is done with JPEG view, another component of LXD. It's really fast, really simple. We have an appearance, we have a task manager, started with Control Alt Delete, very simple for people who come from other operating systems, application shortcut. The new component just started here, offered 5 days ago. It's LX Music, pretty new, and we have many people here who join us. Please join us as well, lxde.org. We welcome you, looking forward to your involvement. Thank you.
Right. Next speaker on the list, Rich, is that you? Well, this should be Rich Jones talking about Animos, which is an Animos encrypted BitTorrent. And just in between, I'd like to point out that according to the circumstances, we might or might not have all the talks of today, and we do it like this. Every talk that couldn't be presented will be presented at the next slot. So we keep sliding this a little, and we will do updates in the wiki. I'd like also to remind you that the Pentabath system also gives the opportunity to give some feedback, and we would very much like to welcome that. So please use the opportunity to give us some feedback. So, Rich Jones, starting up.
Hi, can you hear me? Okay. Hi, I'm Rich. I'm from Boston, and I'm with the Animos project with my my friend John Skank. And give me 1 second here. Presentation. Okay. A quote from Tim May, the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto. I'll do this real quick. Arise, you have nothing to lose but your barbed wire fences, in the context of using cryptography to destroy the concept of intellectual property. In the United States, you know the problem. You've all heard about it. The RIAA, the MPAA suing young people. You have similar organizations in Europe and internationally, like WIPO. And this is evil. They're corrupting our governments, and they're restricting our access to information. They're specifically targeting young people, and they're killing the concept of fair use. Worse than this, we're having problems with...
Can you totally the solution to 2024?
Pardon?
Can you totally the solution to 2024? We can't see it on the screen.
What do you want with this?
Can you totally 2024?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're saying. We're having, in the United States, the National Security Agency is listening to our phone calls and monitoring our internet traffic. In the UK, the email record database, problems in Sweden, obviously China, the Middle East. This violates the rights to privacy, access to information, free speech. This is mind control, as far as we are concerned. This leads to other problems down the road. The solution is cryptonymity, which is the combination of cryptography and anonymity. You're familiar with projects like Tor and I2P. We are the Animos project, which combines those principles with BitTorrent, which you're all used to for stealing your pornography. We're sponsored by the NLNet Foundation, who have been very kind to us, and they're the reason that we're here today. You've all used BitTorrent. You know why it's good. It's very fast, multi-peer-to-peer. But you know the problems that if university networks, you'll be caught. You will have your internet access revoked. You're being tracked, and a lot of times it'll be blocked by your internet service providers. There are solutions to this, like Tor and ITP, as I mentioned, but they are typically slower, and sometimes, in the case of Tor, they deliberately block BitTorrent traffic or ask you not to use it. So Animos is the onion routing concept of Tor combined with the multi-peer-to-peer system of BitTorrent using strong AES encryption end-to-end and SSL encryption between the nodes. And it's fast, it's anonymous. The main problem is it still uses a centralized tracker, but using Tor for HTTP traffic, you can get around this as well. This is something we're investigating now, if you're interested. There are practical applications for this. Okay, citizen journalism. It's a Chinese man falling over. The person who took the photograph was imprisoned for doing it, for criticizing the government. And we think that there needs to be a vocal outlet for citizen media, and sometimes it has to be anonymous, and you can use BitTorrent for this, and you can use Animos for this. We need help. If you want to join us, if you want to code, or if you want to run a tracker, that would be great. You can find more info at our website animos.info. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Rich. Next speaker is Jan. He has two presentations. Just change the laptop.
Hi. Sorry, just a reminder for the speakers. Please set your resolution to 1024 by 768, because otherwise our scanline converter won't capture your video output. Thank you.
And also, just another reminder for you guys watching there on the internet, there's an IRC channel, it's 25C3-Saal 1, 2, and 3, and this is Saal 2. So I hope to get some feedback there, and maybe take the opportunity for you guys to sit over there, come over there very quickly. I think there's an aisle where you can walk.
Practice seat space.
Habe ich vorhin schon gemacht. Here we go, Jan Suhr.
Hi, my name is Jan. In the first talk, I would like to introduce you the German Privacy Foundation. This foundation was established last year. At this time, in 2007, there were a couple of problems in the German tour community, which means especially that German law enforcement agencies did investigations against tour administrators. So in case of abuse of any tour server, German law enforcement tend to just do a simple IP check, find out who is running the server, and then do, well, for example, a house search or, well, any ugly investigation against the administrator. In most of the cases, or in all cases I know about, the administrator has nothing to do with the abuses. So this is why the German Privacy Foundation was established, to give the administrator, well, a protection. This protection is that the Privacy Foundation is renting the server, is running the server officially, and taking also the responsibility. We call this Tor Partnership Program. Other activities we do is usual trainings, mentorship programs, that we give you a specific mentor to support you with encryption and privacy things on your computer, but also training for investigators, which is especially useful to tell the investigators what is the IP address and what is Tor. So our idea is not that investigators in Germany want to crack down Tor or want to harm the network in any way, because they don't know about it. They just simply have no idea. They just get an IP address, and then they get a name of the administrator, and then they do a house search. So that's a problem. So we want to teach them what is behind what is a Tor server, etc. Other projects are Privacy Box, which is a kind of simple web form to give journalists a possibility for persons who want to contact them anonymously, to give them an easy and secure possibility. So another thing is a stick, which you can think of like an OpenPGP stick. I will talk about this later. So the servers we are running currently are about 5 Tor servers. The fifth one is going to start soon, which will result in the throughput of about 10 megabytes per second, so all Tor servers together. These Tor servers are run by this Tor Partnership Program, which means they are funded by members, by the administrators, but we run them officially. Yeah. Other servers we have is like ITOP, JAP, or a simple Mixmaster, and also we are going to start a PKD service. So we can offer you this partnership program if you would like to start any Tor server and you're afraid for some legal problems with this. We can take the responsibility of your Tor server. We just need the root access to your Tor server, which is going to be given to an administrator we trust, to another member of our club, of our foundation. And this is just required in case of abuse. So because we take the responsibility, we want to be able to stop the server in case something goes wrong. This is the only drawback. And also, we are just a community of experts, and you can get support and find some people, some experts, to start your own project. So it's not a static structure, it's a kind of open platform. Okay, so I will just continue with my second talk, which is about, I can call it OpenPGP stick or crypto stick. Probably some of you know this OpenPGP card. You can buy it by mail order on the left side, or maybe some of you got already this FSFE fellowship card, which is more or less the same OpenPGP card. So this OpenPGP card is used to support your email encryption with GnuPG. You can store your secure, or no, you can store your private keys on the smart card, and you can be secure that the keys will not leave the smart card. So whatever happens to your computer, if there are Bundestrojaner or viruses or whatever, these software will not get on your secret keys. That's the main purpose of this card. But you need a smart card reader. So for my opinion, many people do not have a smart card reader and are not willing to buy a smart card reader, even if they have a FSFE fellowship card. So they just don't want another device. What we did is we just combine the OpenPGB card with, you can call it a smart card reader, to a little stick you can see on the right-hand side. This is our current demo stick. This is, well, basically the smart card, not just the smart card functionality, but really the smart card chip combined with a USB interface. So this crypto stick, as I said, it's like an OpenPGP card combined with a USB interface. And again, your secret keys are secure because they are not on a memory, so, well, not on a flash memory as this stick may look like. No, it's a real smart card. So this is compatible with your favorite open source software like NuPG, Thunderbird, or Firefox, SSH, PAM for login authentication, and your Linux, and so on. The project is open source project. This means we will release the hardware specs, well, the hardware PCB design, and the software, all is open source. Currently, it's fully working, so the development is more or less finished. We just want to start producing a first batch, which we will sell for maybe 30 to 40 years. We don't want to make money with it, but even the smart card chip itself is like about 15 euros. So it's just more or less the cost of the parts which are combined. We will sell it soon. So it's really a limited edition because we are running out of parts for the first edition. So if you want one, you're good to give us a pre-order. And we are planning to make another version, which has support for RSA encryption with more than, currently you have a limitation of 1024-bit RSA encryption. So in the next version, we want to get rid of it to allow RSA with 2048-bit encryption. And probably we can combine a flash memory, which can easily be encrypted and decrypted. So probably we will integrate some interfaces in the future to, well, allow you to connect your keyboard to circumvent bugged computers or whatever. So I think it's a quite interesting project, and we are happy to welcome you. We are always require support for device driver development and also low-level hardware development in C. So thank you.
Right. Thank you very much for that. Next on the list is two talks from Aaron Kaplan. He's from Vienna. And yes, Jansu also has some flyers for you, so please pick them up here. Again, is there anyone who has an empty seat next to him? Please, that's great. So if you see anyone coming in, please just move a little to the side and make it free. Thanks. Again, we are in IRC. Please join us there, give us some feedback, and don't forget the feedback in the Pentabuff system. So here's two talks by Aaron Kaplan, one on OLSR, that's first, and then on hacking botnets. Aaron.
Was kann ich? Ja, ich habe hier noch ein Problem, glaube ich, mit der Auflösung. Oi. Okay, ich beeile mich. Besser. Okay, hi, I presented last year here, I think it was last year, about the OLSR mesh routing daemon. Basically, I wanted to give you a brief feedback, an update on what's happening, and we'll probably ask you for your support again. So last year, I presented a pretty ambitious program to continue to work on the OLSR mesh routing daemon, which is, I think we can say, the first mesh routing daemon used in a wide sense in Freifunk and Funkfeuer and all the community Wi-Fi mesh networks. So what did we look at last year? Lots of code cleanup, performance improvements, a synchronization algorithm, and multipath routing. And the multipath routing had a question mark last year already. It proved to be true because we didn't get there yet this year. So there was lots of code cleanup. Next page. So what did we achieve compared to that? The code is much, much cleaner now. I encourage anybody who wants to use that mesh routing daemon to take a look at the code now and, you know, improve on it and see. It's pretty much readable. It's really, really fast now. There have been some great updates by Sven Olatürke and others who are just squeezing out the last performance bits. And so we're very proud now to say that this runs on a 30 megahertz embedded webcam in the Freifunk network. That's roughly, I don't know, how many hundred nodes, 800 nodes now or so, something like that. So it's really fast. There was some great work by Henning Rogge. I don't know if he's here in the room. And he was working on a metric plugin. So one of the big research topics in mesh networks is in 2008 was using different metrics, because when you want to find the best path to some other router, you need to define what's best. So that's the metric, that's the link cost. And it proved that the ETX extension, which was used or which is used in Freifunk, is only part of the truth. It minimizes the amount of hops and it minimizes the packets. So there is some great opportunity here for 2009 to improve on that, because now we want to also look into how we can choose paths based on the maximum capacity, bandwidth-wise, and least drop packets, and lowest latency, etc., etc. So in order to make that, there is this metric plugin now where we can experiment with different metrics. And extra, Henning also programmed something that you get this layer 2 info from Wi-Fi cards up into higher protocol layers. Any mesh routing protocol or any protocol which wants to use that will be able to access Wi-Fi statistics in a transparent way for the MAC 802.11 Wi-Fi driver in Linux 2.6, 29 probably. Next one. Okay. So multipath came later. That's for maybe 2009, 2010. We're starting to think long term now. And here's still a few things which were cleaned up in the code, lots of mallocs. Timers are much more efficient. And finally, Sven Ole worked on some doku, so you can read and catch up on that. So one of the problems that we have is we need better bug reports. And one of the things that we noticed also, we need to test better before we release it on the Freifunk networks, because there were some voices which complained about, you know, code quality. It's still, so the tip is much, much better now than the stable branch. We believe that the tip is more stable than the stable branch. So, but we need your feedback for that. That's why I'm talking here also. We need good bug reports. And that means if somebody needs to go into GDB and look why the thing core dumped. Please send that. Okay, that's it. The other talk, I want to briefly give you an intro of what I'm doing at work, actually. I started a new job in 2008. I work at the Austrian Registry, and we started to look into IT security. I want to give you a brief intro on that, and maybe also like later, if you want to talk with me about that, I would be very interested in your feedback. So we came across a botnet, which, funny enough, came on a USB stick. The infector came on a USB stick, no name, from China. You plug it into Windows, it comes from China, it connects to China. So it's a simple botnet, you know, it's an ISC server based thing. You just have to sniff the password and you're in, yeah. So what we got, Ivan Klimek from Slovakia told us that, and he analyzed it a bit, and we thought, oh great, let's go in and let's loot it, huh? Let's take a look at that botnet. And we were really scared, you know, it's like a million infected PCs worldwide. We at Certity, we produced statistics on that, informed the ISPs that, you know, some of their clients might be like 250,000 IPs in Mexico might be infected. We came around a problem, which is, if any of you has a solution for that, I'm very interested, because when infected PCs are behind a NAT or dynamic IP addresses, it's not so easy to count how big is the botnet actually. Yeah? So counting botnets proved to be somewhat of a challenge. So I analyzed, like here on the right hand side, you can see the number of IPs, and the y-axis is the number of logged in clients, and you can see this is a log plot, so there's a long tail here actually. Good. You can see very nice, we monitored the nice diurnal patterns, so night and day, you can really see it here. And one of my pet projects now at work is to visualize all kinds of security incidents live, if possible, and map them and get a picture of how the internet actually looks, or the underground internet actually looks like. So in case anybody, if you had some ideas on how to improve on that, please, I would be very happy for feedback. Good. Do we still have some time? Okay, then I want to talk about briefly about something else that we could do as a registry .at, which is really to analyze the Kaminsky's problems in live. Yeah? So brief recap. You probably heard yesterday the talk by Dan Kaminsky, like the recursive DNS servers were or are vulnerable to cache poisoning. So an attacker can poison the cache here and send back the wrong answer to the stub, to the PM, to the client. And we found a very nice, again, a very nice metric, which clearly separates good from bad, or patched from unpatched recursive DNS servers. You can see the formula up there. If you want it, I can give it to you afterwards. Very simple. It's basically counting how many port changes there are. And since we had the live questions as .at, we could see basically in real time who is asking .at top-level domains. And we could monitor the number of port changes of those askers, of those recursive DNS servers. So this was really interesting to actually give back some data to Dan, and of course it's anonymized. Of course we cut out the questions, the DNS names, which wanted resolution. But we could do some very nice statistics, and you can see in the beginning, thanks. Okay, great. In the beginning you could see like 90, the score is on the lower, on the x-axis, so one is almost perfect, is patched, and zero is unpatched. Yeah? You can see in the beginning, almost everybody's unpatched. These are the DJB servers on the right-hand side. So over time, we could observe like how this got patched. In the beginning, we had the advisory, and there were some people who know something about security. These patched then. And then afterwards, people started to scream in the media, and the exploit came, and it got slowly patched. So it's really interesting to see that even when we know that there is a vulnerability, which is so well known as the DNS cache poisoning attack, the patch rate is really, really slow. We're here at 50%. Okay? So good news is the important DNS servers are to 90% patched, and there are many, many out there which are still unpatched. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Just one reminder for you, for those of you who haven't heard it, we have an extra session tomorrow. So the usual session will be at 11:30 for 1 hour, but we have an extra session in the evening at 8:30, half past eight. It will not be in this room, but it will be in Saal 3, in room 3, just right over there. And there's still a few empty slots. So think about it. Bis morgen, ja? Okay. Okay, looks good. Okay, we have 10 more minutes for 2 talks. That should suffice.
Hi everyone, thanks for showing up. I'll start with Hackable One now. So I'm Pierre Panchoury, I'm working for Bestech, and this is a GNOME-based distribution for OpenMoCo. So we're doing embedded software development, research and development in hackable devices, and I will explain briefly what are hackable devices and why they are cool. So we are a cooperative of hackers. We are working remotely from France and Germany for myself. And you're welcome to show up at La Cantine in Paris. We have a hacker space over there, which is also a co-working area. So you can register online, work there all day long if you want. You're all welcome. So hackable devices are basically hardware with open specifications. And if the specifications are not open, if you can open them yourself, you're welcome, and it's going to be a hackable device as well. So a few examples out there on the market. You can find the Sharp Zorus, which is sadly discontinued. Of course, the Linksys WRTs are more or less hackable, even if it was probably by accident. But nowadays, with projects such as OpenWRT, you can find dozens of access points which you can actually open up, where you can change the operating system, and that's basically what this is about. You can also do more stuff like tweaking the casing, using them in a different purpose than it's originally designed for, which is also kind of cool.
And of course, you have the socket boxes over there, which are just basically mainboards where you can plug whichever memory card you want, whichever OS, whichever hardware, and the OpenMoco FreeRunner, which is an open phone, meaning we can know exactly how it's designed because it was done from scratch by the open source community. The last restrictions are with the GSM, GPS, and 3D chips because of legal issues mostly, but it's getting solved as we speak, and we are an official VAR in France. We sell the OpenMoco for businesses and regular customers like you, maybe. And you can also find it in Germany and Belgium and in the whole world. It's thousands of models have been sold already. So about the OpenMoco, there are some issues and some really cool stuff as well. The community is very active. Sadly, the work is a bit fragmented. There are many, many different distributions over there, many different environments to choose from. A good thing is that it's mostly patent-free hardware because they did it from scratch. But on the other side, there are still some annoying bugs. It's not a 100% functional phone yet. We have some hardware issues with GSM, such as Echo, but there are some tweaks, and we're working on it to try to make it usable every day now. And the biggest coolest thing with the OpenMoco is that you can actually customize everything. You can flash whichever operating system you want. You can boot from the memory card slot, but you're on your own. Except we have our own system here to help you out. So it's based on Debian. That was a really cool how-to, and people were able to hack Debian and boot it within days on the OpenMoco. So we just basically installed it on a tarball, on a SD card, sorry, packaged it in a tarball, and you can download it, uncompress it on a micro SD card, boot it up on the OpenMoco, it just works. And we included a full development environment, so you can compile natively applications directly. It's quite fast. It's becoming more and more like a regular computer. 400 megahertz CPU, 64 megs of RAM. So it's getting really interesting to develop on such devices, even over SSH from your USB port. And it's much easier than installing a cross-compiling toolchain. So Hackable One is not just about OpenMoco FreeRunner. It's also about hackable devices. And we want to decline the distribution for different purposes and hardware. So, for example, already on the OpenMoco, it has a GPS chip. And some people out there may just want to use it as a GPS. And so the cool thing is that we want to decline the distribution so that we can automatically build software images, flashable images, which are directly booting the GPS in 30 seconds and doing just that. So it's really easy to install and use. And we also use this for business purposes now and trying to promote this business model. And so it's much easier to get started than with open embedded and Scratchbox environments, which are quite painful to set up and bootstrap. We are opening the development process so you can all join. What we publish is what we use. We hang out on IRC, on Hackable One, on the Freenode network. You're all welcome to join the track, which has a wiki, bug reporting system. The official website is on www.hackable1.org. And I will try to improvise a workshop either tomorrow or in 2 days. So feel free to contact me. Send me an email on Hackable One, Corben@hackable1.org, KHORBEN. I can write this down here. And I hope you will join, like it, order OpenMocos, and share the fun. Thanks.
So we have one more talk today by Anselm. Where is he, by the way? Anselm Garbe, Sackless.org. He's not here? That would be too bad. Is there anyone else in the room who was giving a short talk there?
Wer haben die Technik, dass man sie benutzt?
Sorry.
Okay, let's switch to the thing that's not really on. So if Anselm is not here in the room right now, actually we are short of one talk. So what about it? Mario, you still had one, right? More on LXDE? What about more on the stuff that you were going to talk about today? You got it, don't have it? No. Anyway, so that would conclude actually today's talks pretty early, but I guess that gives you some more time for input and output. Please give us some feedback on the IRC via email to the address that was just about here. Oh, it's right there now. Okay, so this would be 25C3 at lightningtalks.de. We would appreciate your feedback there. And we hope to see you tomorrow at the same time, 11:30 here in room 2. And a reminder, there's another session tomorrow evening in Saal 3 at 8:30. Thank you. See you and enjoy the show.